You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Oxfam recently released a report on trends in global wealth inequality titled Survival of the Richest. It found that the richest 1% earned nearly two-thirds of all new wealth created since 2020. And a head of the World Economic Forum at Davos called for governments to introduce tax schemes that would lower wealth inequality. I spoke to Jason Myers, the executive director of Oxfam Aotearoa, about the report, their recommendations, and its relevance to New Zealand. I started off by asking about the main findings of the report.
Sure. Well, the Survival of the Richest report really has some clear messages, and one of the main ones is that extreme wealth and extreme inequality have increased simultaneously for the first time in 25 years. So the world's richest 1% have bagged nearly twice as much wealth as the rest of the world put together over the past 2 years. And at the same time as we've seen that level of billionaire fortune increase, we know that those at the bottom are really struggling.
Do we see these trends mirrored specifically in New Zealand, or is it a little bit different here?
While the report doesn't provide New Zealand data, we know that this reality is playing out here. You know, you don't need to look far into the newsreel to see stories of the impact of the cost of living crisis on the poorest of those in New Zealand. While at the same time, we see the likes of supermarkets making, windfall profits in excess of their normal through no sort of good design of their own. So, you know, what the report essentially is suggesting is that the system is rigged almost exclusively in the favour of the super rich and in the favour of corporations, and that's what needs to change.
What are some of the issues Oxfam sees with growing wealth inequality? Is this something that causes problems in of itself?
It absolutely is. I mean, you know, if we just take every human story, for example, the one that's explored in the report, you know, at one end of the scale, we've got the likes of Jeff Bezos, you know, shown to pay 1% in true tax, essentially in a system that is rigged in his favour. While at the same time, we have the likes of Aba Christine, who sells a mix of millet flour, rice and soya used for making porridge in her market in Uganda, earning $80 a month and being taxed at 40%. So one doesn't need to read, you know, too much into these numbers to see the real impact of that extreme inequality, particularly at the bottom.
So part of this report's conclusion, as you've mentioned, is a call for world governments to introduce wealth and windfall taxes. Mm. Can you explain briefly what these are and why might they be needed?
Sure. Well, look, as I've just said, we've seen the super rich benefit from the system rigged almost exclusively in their favour for some time, and the reality actually is that there's been a systemic dismantling of the taxes on the richest over the past 40 years, with the burden of tax shifting really to rest on the rest of us, many of whom have very little resources. And so what the report is calling for is a range of potential taxes on the super rich. And as you've mentioned, one of those is, for example, a wealth tax. And, you know, the report calculates that if governments all around the world applied a global wealth tax of 2% on assets of 5 million to 49 million and 3% on assets of 50 million to 999 million, and then 5% on assets over 1 billion, it would generate $1.7 trillion of income. And so just imagine what we could do with, you know, a healthy dose of courage and a bit of imagination to address the sorts of gross inequality we're seeing in the world today.
What exactly is the difference between a wealth and a windfall tax? And why might these be targeted towards specifically windfalls that have come in around the time of the pandemic?
Yeah, so a wealth tax is simply a tax on those who are incredibly wealthy. A windfall tax is essentially a tax that we might apply to, for example, companies or corporations who have come into significant profit essentially through no design of their own. And so as you've said, we heard a lot about windfall taxes that start to be talked about through the COVID-19 epidemic. So and supermarkets, for example, in New Zealand is where we started to hear that narrative evolve. essentially a windfall tax is a tax on income that has been generated through not through good design, but rather through a set of economic circumstances, for example, the COVID-19 pandemic.
We have not here introduced a capital gains tax, despite it coming up fairly recently in political spheres. Do you still see these initiatives to be politically viable and likely?
Well, they are political, and of course, whether or not we would initiate a capital gains tax now, there is obviously a political question for political parties. But what Oxfam would say is that capital gains tax should absolutely be on the table, alongside of a range of potential taxes, such as, for example, wealth taxes and windfall taxes, if we want to get serious about addressing inequality, not only that in the world, but that is right here in Aotearoa.
Some critics have said that New Zealand doesn't really have high enough wealth or wealthy individuals to benefit from these sorts of taxes, or they'll argue that it leads to a brain drain type effect. How would you respond to these criticisms?
Well, the response to the first question is we do have a number of billionaire New Zealanders, and you could reel those people off: Graham Hart, Peter Jackson and Fran Walsh, the Todd family and others. So there are some incredibly wealthy people in New Zealand. And if you add those to the nearly 3,000 billionaires around the world, as I say, the potential take if we were to increase taxes on these individuals is significant. And so our argument would be that New Zealand should be doing its bit in this space.
How important is it that governments across the world introduce these types of measures rather than individual countries, given that a lot of the argumentation is around this idea of a brain drain?
Yeah, well, you've just laid out an argument for the need for global solidarity and leadership, right? Because if we get governments across the world doing this, then we avoid the likes of what you've just suggested might be an unintended consequence. And we need to know that there is precedent. Countries are moving to put these sorts of taxes in place. Costa Rica increased its top tax rate for personal income from 15 to 25% recently. And governments across the world, India, Chile, Italy, the UK, are currently taking steps to implement windfall taxes in income sectors. And so there are governments starting to show leadership. But what will be required is global solidarity and global leadership if we are to tackle the scale of the challenge that is before us.
On this topic of global solidarity and leadership, world leaders will obviously be meeting in Davos for the World Economic Forum. What kind of progress is Oxfam expecting to see from this meeting? Do you think there will be a high level of reception to these issues?
We hope. Our famous National Executive Director is present at the Economic Forum. We know that it's often a time of debate and of complex policy dialogue. And there are a range of different invested parties that attend the meeting. So yes, you've got world leaders, you've also got business leaders, entrepreneurs, heads of NGOs like ours, and activists. I think what's important is that space is created for reports like Survival of the Richest to be put on the table and to be discussed, and for a dialogue to be had. I mean, I don't think we can overstate the significance of the time that we are in. When you've got the World Bank saying we're likely to be seeing the biggest increase in global inequality and poverty since World War II, now is the time for action.
That was Jason Myers from Oxfam Aotearoa speaking about Oxfam's Survival of the Richest report.
It was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.